This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. The three-pack is back. The three-pack is a great value, and the top three uses for the air purifier are to eliminate odors, allergens, and air pollutants. Get the three-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word Howie3.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston. You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. And thank you all so much for joining us today. We are chugging right along this week. We'd love to hear from you. The number is 844-500-4242. And I want to start today. There's a lot that I could start with. And I'm always tempted to go Biden. You know, it's a sure thing. But I'm going to start today with a little bit of news from the FBI. And that is because lately I've been overwhelmed with all of these farewell tours. You know, you've seen me recently trying to grapple with the idea of Dr. Fauci leaving us after 140 years of public service. It's hard to let him go. And then just as I'm starting to recover from that, just as I'm starting to, you know, get myself together, I find out that Tim Tebow is retiring. Now, when I say Tim Tebow, Jared, you understand now why I was asking about the last name?
Yes.
Because it sounds like the other Tim Tebow.
Yes, this is Tim, not Tim Tebow, the football slash baseball player.
No.
This is Tim Tebow,
the FBI assistant special agent in charge. Don't get it twisted. Okay? And he's retiring. In other words, another one bites the dust.
Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust.
He has officially left the FBI. He is no longer with the Bureau. He retired over the weekend, and no Fauci farewell tour for Tebow. He was out of there. He was escorted out, which I guess is, you know, that's the protocol. It's not unusual. And if you're thinking to yourself, why do I care? I want to remind you that Timmy, that's what I like to call him, Timmy, because I don't think people with the name Timothy, I don't think they like to be called Timmy. So that's why I'll be calling him that. That's just my hunch, is that they prefer to be called Tim. Well, Timmy was the agent who was called out in Senator Chuck Grassley's letter to Christopher Wray and Merrick Garland. And this was the letter that addressed the fact that whistleblowers said that Tebow and others were suppressing negative information about Hunter Biden before the 2020 election. So Tebow, you could say, as of late, has come under a bit of scrutiny, a bit of criticism. And just like that, he's now leaving. It's too bad. I didn't even have time to put together a proper goodbye party. I would have liked to get an ice cream cake, perhaps some streamers, a sign, goodbye Tim. It could be like The Office. We could do a little goodbye stranger, but I could be up on the stage just, Tim, Tim's going away.
Hail fellow, well met.
Yes. I would have done something. I would have asked Hillary Clinton to come out and dance. Maybe that Finnish woman.
She might still be paying him a visit. Yeah. We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. We could have had an ice cream social. I could have had Christopher Wray throw it in his home at the Adirondacks, fly us all out there on the PJ. It could have been a nice soiree. He deserves it. But instead, he's like the wind. He's gone just like that. And yeah, we could, you know what else we could have done, Jared? We could have put together, you know, sometimes people retire, you put together a video, like a PowerPoint type deal of all the people saying goodbye, you know, old coworkers, new coworkers, old friends, old lovers. We could add Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, wishing him well. It would have been a who's who of the FBI.
Video message from Ray Epps.
That's what I'm saying. This is what we missed out on. And the only reason we missed out is because nobody told me. How am I supposed to plan these parties for everyone if I'm not getting a heads up, if I'm finding out about it in the newspaper like Joe Biden? You guys got to send me an email. But with every bit of sad news, there is good news. You know, with the FBI, all these agencies, it's like when one door closes, another one opens. And that brings me to another person you might be familiar with. Does anybody remember Jeremy Bash? Jeremy Bash, where to begin with Jeremy Bash? Well, he's a former CIA chief of staff. He was the CIA chief of staff during the Obama presidency. And he was an MSNBC pundit who claimed, well, on MSNBC, which, I mean, everyone who's been on MSNBC pretty much has claimed this, so this won't come as a huge surprise. But he claimed that, guess what? In Tebow fashion, he claimed that Hunter Biden's laptop could be Russian disinformation while on MSNBC. That's why you want to have people with such a great background in the CIA, the FBI, all of these agencies, because when a big story breaks, they can lie to your audience and tell your audience not to believe it. And that's exactly what he did. And guess what? This is what I mean. When one person retires, this is the circle of life. With every Tebow that exits, you've got a new person coming into the building. Now, he's not going back to work for the FBI. You know where he's going, Jared? Even better.
The Biden White House?
He's failing up. He got a new job at the Biden White House. It's the circle of life. He's been appointed to a White House board that offers the president national intelligence advice. If it's anything like the advice he was giving out to the other hacks at MSNBC, pay no attention to the Hunter Biden laptop. It seems to me that it has all the earmarks of Russian disinformation. If he's giving out that kind of grade A advice to Joe Biden, then I think we're going to be in an even better position than we are right now going forward. I feel so at peace, so secure, knowing that these morons and these liars are sitting right next to Joe Biden and whispering sweet nothings into his ear.
Keeping you safe at night.
Yeah. What more could you ask for? So I just wanted to give everyone that brief update about what is happening. In case you say, you know, Grace, you're not spending enough time on the swamp. There's your swamp update of the day. It's also your failing up update of the day, because I could do that once a day as well. You know, someone loses a Senate race, they might be president. Someone sucks on MSNBC, well, now they're going to go work for the White House. Must be nice, right? If I did a bad job, you know what would happen to me? I just lose my job, and I'd have to work my way up somewhere else. But these people, they fail, and they get asked to be Biden's right-hand man. I mean, it's ridiculous. He's on the board for the president. The president's national intelligence advice. Also, we have Mar-a-Lago updates that we will get to today. I don't want to focus on it too much in the beginning because I really do want to read directly from a very, very good piece in The Federalist that kind of breaks down why the DOJ and how the DOJ bent certain things to fit the facts of the Trump has these top secret docs. Like, they were bending what they wanted. They kind of knew what they wanted to find and how they work that. And it also goes into a lot of detail about the Presidential Records Act and what that really means. I think a lot of people, while they're writing about this and giving you updates on the Mar-a-Lago raid, they are going back to it. And it can be kind of tedious going through all of the jargon that this Presidential Records Act involves. But it is important to understand it, because then you understand what kind of case they're trying to make against Trump. Now, we do have big news regarding Joe Biden. I waited a solid 10 minutes to talk about Joe. Normally, Thursday is his head out for vacation day. He's either heading out for vacation on Thursday or he's coming back from vacation to spend a Friday at the White House and then head out again on vacation. But this Thursday, neither of those things will be happening. This Thursday, he's hanging around to give a speech. He's going to give a speech outside Independence Hall about the soul of the nation. I'm going to read that line again, because that sounds like the most boring line I've ever heard. He's going to give a speech outside Independence Hall about the soul of the nation. I almost fell asleep just thinking about it.
It's a two-word speech, Mr. President. It's crushed.
Yeah.
Because of you.
Yeah.
That is the soul of the nation.
Yeah. And you know what? I wonder if in this speech he will upgrade Trump supporters from semi-fascists to full fascists. You think we'll get the upgrade?
Oh, yeah. This is full on. Now it's full fascist. It's metastasized.
Well, we've earned it. Fascist. We've earned it, you know, because Trump's house was raided. So, of course, yeah, we're the fascists in this scenario.
Final iteration, our final form, as Taylor was mentioning yesterday, for Pokemon lore, it's the final form.
Again, you know, I talk a lot on this show about giving me ample update or, you know, an ample note about what we're going to go into. If you're going to do a nerd report this early in the show, Jared, I would appreciate a little bit of a warning, because then we'll play the song. If you're going to go full Pokemon, we'll play your intro. Now, we'll wait on that. We'll let Jared nerd out in a little bit. He's also going to talk about, Jared, the MAGA, how MAGA's on the ballot, and how the MAGA Republicans, I want to make sure I get this right, the MAGA Republicans, because KJP was talking about this too, they're risking, our democracy's at risk. That shouldn't come as a huge surprise. Our democracy's been at risk for 6 years now, just constantly at risk. But also, there's so much at risk. MAGA's on the ballot. That's going to be a common theme. Or the ballot, whatever you want to call it. The ballot. It's on all of it. And, well, you know the thing. And meanwhile, beyond that, though, and we will break down, you know, what to expect on that Thursday speech. Not that you even need me to tell you. I'm sure you'll all be tuned in Thursday, sitting on your couches, ready to go, waiting for the fireside chat from Joe Biden. We also have updates on student loan debt. I'm very excited about this because two people who I think we can trust more than anybody else, two wise women, if we're even allowed to call them that, wise birthing people, are talking about student loan cancellation. And I feel like now I understand what the Biden administration is going for. John Fetterman made waves this week. We'll talk about that. We got Andy Ngo coming up in the 1 o'clock. It's going to be a jam-packed show. And the number is 844-500-4242. All right, now we got to talk about the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier, because the three-pack is back, and we still get asked all the time if it really works. Jared tells you all the time it really works, and he uses it for multiple things, not just in the kitchen, not just in your house, but also in your car.
Yeah, I like to keep it in my car for allergy reasons, because the thunderstorm is great at ionizing the air and creating a super oxygen, which is what can eliminate allergens and pollutants in the air the same way it does for odors. I would really say when you're talking about the soul of air, of fresh air.
You don't want to crush
air.
It.
You do not want to crush it. You want the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. It is the soul of fresh air.
Yeah, and you need to save it.
I don't think I'm being hyperbolic.
No joke, man. And the safe ozone technology destroys up to 99.9% of air pollutants. So if you're a value shopper like Jared, this is a great time to get this. This offer is for you. No air filters are required. It saves you time and money. And you can get the three-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com. Put in code word GRACE3. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code word GRACE3. Shipping is free. Like I said, we'll continue to talk about the FBI, the Mar-a-Lago raid. And I definitely want to talk about student loan debt, because AOC, when AOC and Kamala Harris give you tips on student loan cancellation, you listen. You don't ignore that. We'll be right back with your calls. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. She's got the voice of an angel.
I've been called the songbird of my generation, by people who've heard me.
It's Grace Curley.
You couldn't make this stuff up. The same day we find out that Tim Tebow, the ex-FBI agent, left the FBI on Friday, I believe it was, or at least, you know, he's retired now. That same day, I find out that MSNBC pundit Jeremy Bash, who cast doubt on Hunter Biden's laptop, is tapped for White House Intelligence Board. And I'll do you one better, because I thought this was the case, but I wanted to make sure here. This is from the New York Post. Bash clinched the new role despite signing on to a letter along with 50 former intelligence officials prior to the 2020 election that cast doubt on the post-expose of Hunter Biden's laptop. Remember that letter? It was signed by all the brilliant minds, the former intelligence agents who knew. They knew Russian disinformation when they saw it. Oh, wait. No, they didn't. But they knew that what they were doing, it had nothing to do with the earmarks. I love that term, by the way, the earmarks of Russian disinformation. Or as Maxine Waters used to say, connect the dots. All roads lead to Putin. Okay. It had nothing to do with that. They just knew if they put that out there, that letter, which everyone should have to answer to, all 51 should have to answer for that. They never will. But they knew if they threw that out there, that every time Joe Biden was confronted with it by a reporter, or he was on the debate stage with Donald Trump, he would say, "It's been debunked by 51 debunked." And that would be it. That would be it. That would be his line. And he wouldn't have to answer anything else. And they did that for him. Because that is the state of the intelligence agencies in the United States of America. Tom, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Tom.
Grace, how are you doing?
I'm good. What's going on?
You know, this FBI corruption thing is nothing new. This goes back to the 50s with Hoover and his cross-dressing boyfriend, Clyde Paulson. They never, ever went after the mob, New York or otherwise. They went after the politicians and the communists. But what I want to ask you is this. Grace, is Howie in love with Mr. Garcia?
I think we all are in love with Mr. Garcia. I think that goes without saying. But to your point about how this goes back a very, very long way, I'm not oblivious to that. I don't know if people are aware of this, but after me, there's this show. It's called The Howie Carr Show. And I've been working with Howie for a long time. So when it comes to hearing stories about the FBI, you know what? I'll up the ante a little bit. Hearing unflattering stories about the FBI, I've heard my fair share. I think I understand how bad they are. And even so, though, I do find this stuff, particularly over the past year, and then you add in the Mar-a-Lago raid, I do find that they're being a lot more open about the corruption. Like, they've kind of lost their nuance. And I know what you're thinking. Richard Jewell, I mean, you could go back to Bob Mueller, all of these things. Maybe they never had it, but there's something about it recently that just feels like a slap in the face to people. And on that same note, Peter Strzok was pummeled after claiming the FBI had no choice but to reluctantly investigate Donald Trump. Peter Strzok on Twitter is a mess. I'm not going to go through the whole thread, but he's fighting with Maggie Haberman from the New York Times. And, you know, he's constantly like, he's so sanctimonious. And as if he wasn't part of this massive Russia hoax. And it's not that any of us expected to ever apologize, but can you just do us the favor of shutting up? Is that so much to ask? I'm not asking.
Yes, it is too much to ask.
I'm not saying that he should never work again. Like, get a regular job. I'm not saying that, you know, whatever.
Ironically, get a job at Walmart.
Right. I know it's going to smell not to your liking, but do you have to be in our faces reminding us of how skewed the justice system is in this country and how corrupt everything is? He's like the face of corruption and he doesn't care. And he gets on Twitter and he puffs out his chest and he's fighting with Maggie Haberman about, no, don't say this about the Trump search warrant. No, because she's reporting actual facts about the search warrant. He doesn't like them. So naturally, he wants her to be censored or, you know, taken off of Twitter. I don't think he actually wants her to be taken off of Twitter, but he wants to let her know that this is not what you should be doing. You should not be reporting the truth, Maggie. You should do what Peter Strzok does and make things up, you know, develop an insurance policy in case Trump were to run again. 844-500-4242. It's just all so frustrating. And that's kind of the main thing I wanted to discuss in this opening. And then in the next segment, what I would love to talk about is the raid of Mar-a-Lago, because there was a great breakdown in The Federalist about what this means. And it's by Margot Cleveland. She does a lot of really good work for them. I'm going to read you some of it. I'm just going to read directly from it when we come back. And I'll also tweet it out so you can find it. It's redacted Mar-a-Lago affidavit confirms Biden's DOJ fished for a crime to pin on Trump. We'll be right back with this and a lot more sound. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. The number, if you want to join in, is 844-500-4242. I want to talk a little bit about John Fetterman here. We haven't talked too much about Fetterman. He's running against Dr. Oz for the open Senate seat in Pennsylvania. I'm not a huge Dr. Oz girl, so I'm kind of just resigned to whatever happens in this race.
But talk about a couple of bad choices.
Yeah, it really is. It's not great. But Fetterman made waves this week because he was asked about voter ID. And this is always a tricky subject for Democrats because, like most topics, they're hypocrites on it. You know, so it's hard to really make your case when you're not doing it based off any principle. For example, when it comes to IDs, if you were to tell a Democrat, do you think we should have IDs to let people into Shake Shack to make sure they're vaccinated? They would say, yeah, I have no problem with that. We have to keep people safe. But if you were to say, should we have IDs to allow people to vote? Should people need IDs to keep our elections safe? They would say, no, that's Jim Crow 2.0 on steroids on Eagle's wings. It's ridiculous. And
Jim Eagle.
John Fetterman was horrified to find out that people wanted voter ID. And let's take a listen to this, and then we're going to break it down. And this actually made me think of a few other cases that Democrats, while trying to make an argument, actually offended a large group of people. It's not that rare. It's not that uncommon. This is John Fetterman, Cut 8.
I am horrified that Republicans are going to attempt to change Pennsylvania's constitution to make voter ID mandatory in Pennsylvania, which, of course, disproportionately will impact people of color.
Okay, and then it actually gets worse because he explains why it will disproportionately affect people of color. Cut 9.
In my own state, they are going to attempt to pass a constitutional amendment, making sure that universal voting ID for every time you vote, not just when you sign up to vote, but every time you vote, because they understand that at any given time, there's tens of thousands of Pennsylvanians who typically are on the poorer side and are people of color that are less likely to have their ID at any one given time.
I remember one time I was on social media and I saw these man on the street interviews, and this guy was asking black people, I think it was in New York, if they had their IDs on them. And the people that were interviewed were taken aback that he would even ask that question. A lot of them were saying, these people who were interviewed were saying, of course I have my ID on me. Why wouldn't I have my ID on me? Do you have your ID on you? It flummoxed them that this would even be a question. And now we're being told that poor people and black people or people of color are less likely to have IDs. I don't know what he's basing that off of, but I know he's not the first Democrat to make this case.
I just have a vision of Lee Trevino, like in Happy Gilmore, just shaking his head when they cut away after Fetterman says that.
Yeah. Well, Jared, too, something else we should add in is that compared to some of his other stances, this isn't that shocking. Like, this is actually on the normal scale for Fetterman, this is pretty normal because we didn't even focus on this the other day. I've just had so much on my plate as far as the show goes. But he was asked if you had a magic wand. And we know the only time a magic wand appears is when Donald Trump's in office, because Obama was trying to find a magic wand. Biden's trying to find a magic wand. Everybody's trying to find a magic eight ball. Everyone's trying to find unicorns. The only time these things actually work is when Donald Trump's in office. But he was asked if he had a magic wand, what would he fix? He could fix one thing in the world. And actually, you know what? Before we even go into what his one thing was, Jared, I'm going to toss it to you. You're my producer. You have a lot of good insight. I'm giving you a magic wand. You can fix one thing in the world. What are you going to fix?
No more government.
Okay.
Done. Gone. Gone. Everybody fends for themselves. The strong survive. It's just what it is. Society functions.
Well, you actually might like Fetterman's idea. It's a fraction of that, but he definitely wants to get rid of some aspects of government. So when asked what he would do if he could wave a magic wand and fix one thing, the thing he came up with was doing away with life without parole for murderers. On top of that,
it's a bold strategy, Cotton.
He said that he agreed that if one third of all prisoners were let out of prison, let loose, that wouldn't endanger anyone. So compared to that, the voter ID thing is not the worst thing he could have said. With all of that being said, though, I wanted to remind people, because you might be hearing this and saying, I remember someone else making insulting comments about voter ID, but I can't remember who. Well, lucky for you, a lot of this stuff is burned into my brain. So we're going to have a little flashback here. This was Kamala Harris, and she was being interviewed on BET by Soledad O'Brien. And this is what she had to say about IDs. Cut 11.
Because in some people's mind, that means, well, you're going to have to Xerox or photocopy your ID to send it in to prove you are who you are. Well, there are a whole lot of people, especially people who live in rural communities, who don't. There's no Kinko's. There's no Office Max near them.
And this one, my next one here, because, you know, we're on memory lane. We might as well keep going. This one wasn't specifically about ID. I think Joe Biden, in this case, Jared, and correct me if I'm wrong, I believe he was talking about vaccinations.
Yeah, he was talking about I'm not sure if it was finding vaccination sites or signing up for vaccinations online.
But I would still put this under the umbrella of the soft bigotry of low expectations.
Oh, yes.
This is Joe Biden, cut 10. This is a flashback.
Not everybody in the community, in the Hispanic and the African-American community, particularly in rural areas that are distant and or inner city districts, know how to get online.
Yeah, that is. These Democrats, they don't hide what they're thinking. You know, you can spin it any way you want. I'm sure there's tons of fact checks. I actually remember when Joe Biden said that, because there was plenty of fact checks explaining what he really meant was. Yeah, sure. Right.
Something, net neutrality, something.
Yeah, we just can't understand. You know, the brilliance of Joe Biden gets lost in translation for us credulous boomer rubes. And we always take what he's saying and we assume it's like the worst of the worst, when really, it's so much more complex than that. But the reason I bring this up is because we decided to make this the poll question. We did not include Joe Biden because this is voting ID only. So I didn't want to mix in Joe Biden's internet remarks. Today's poll question is brought to you by Perfect Smiles. Don't be fooled by imposters with similar names. If you're unhappy with your smile, you need to visit Dr. Bruce Houghton in Nashua. Call 1-844-PERFECT-SMILE or visit perfectsmiles.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Whose comment regarding access to IDs was more offensive, John Fetterman or Kamala Harris?
I'm going to say Kamala Harris, because Fetterman could at least come up with some stat that could save him in this situation. It's still insulting, but, you know, if he comes up with some statistic that says actually, you know, poor people, whatever. The idea that Kamala had to bring up Kinko's, like, she's just riffing, you know, like she's there was no study behind this that informed what she had to say. That was just a pure Kamala Harris moment. So I'm going to say Kamala, because Kinko's always remember that.
Kamala is at 47% right now, but 53% think John Fetterman was more offensive.
Okay. Yeah, no, I could see that. 844-500-4242. All right, so let's talk a little bit about this Mar-a-Lago raid, because it's definitely something that the left is keeping in the forefront for good reason. This is great for them. Because now Joe Biden, and he's going to do this, he's going to do this on Thursday night, set your TiVos, set your DVRs, he's going to put MAGA on the ballot. On the ballot. That's the only thing they can do. And so they're focusing on it, and Trump's loving it too. He's raising so much money off of this raid. But what's actually going on with it? And someone from the Federalist, Margot Cleveland, she's really, really good at breaking this stuff down. And she talks about the search warrant affidavit and how it was unsealed on Friday and how it confirms the Department of Justice used a bait and switch tactic to justify the FBI's unprecedented raid on Donald Trump's home. Bait and switch from the FBI. I don't believe that. But the one part of this that I highlighted, and it's a pretty thick piece. It goes into a lot of this stuff. But there was three top line takeaways from the mandates of the Presidential Records Act. And I thought this might be helpful to go over. First, the Presidential Records Act is not a criminal statute, and violations of that federal law do not constitute a crime. If you were to show that to me, and I'm not a legal beagle, okay? I'm not a legal beagle. I would say, then what are we doing here? Then was it really necessary for all those people to show up when Trump was out of town and go through Melania's wardrobe?
Laws, the Constitution, the thing, that's just guidelines. That's anecdotal suggestions.
Yeah, that's just giving us, you're right. That's just giving us a path we can go down. We can kind of use artistic license as we go. Second, the Presidential Records Act does not reach broad swaths of documents retained by a former president, including official records of an agency, personal records, and convenient copies of presidential records. And third, the courts have refused to question a former president's conclusion that a record constitutes a personal record and not a presidential record. Also, I want to add in here another part of this story. A president has absolute authority to declassify documents. I find all of this to be worth reminding people, because I know they're going to come up with something great. I have no doubt that there's some sort of top secret nuclear related. I love that. I love that phrase too, nuclear related or national security related. When you get down to it, Jared, anything could be national security related. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the old Seinfeld episode where Kramer's going to make all these stairs in his apartment. He's going to make all these levels. He keeps saying, it's levels, Jerry, it's levels. And Jerry says, you're never going to do this. This is never going to happen. And then later in the show, they make a bet. And Jerry says, you lost the bet. You didn't do it. And Kramer says, well, I could have done it. And Jerry says, that's not the bet. The bet was, did you do it? And he goes, but I could have. He said, anything can be done. The question is, did you do it? And this is how I feel about all these national security top secret related documents. Anything can be related to national security if you stretch your mind far enough. Doesn't mean that any of this stuff was really all that sensitive.
What happens if the schematics for the Diet Coke button falls into the hands of Iran?
Right. And also,
has anybody thought about that?
You know what I think we need to do some more digging into is some of these top dogs at the National Archives, who are hell-bent on sending, you know, all of these letters out and saying, oh, we got permission from Joe Biden to waive executive privilege of the former president. Like, there's something with that, too, that I think needs some digging into. Mike, you're next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Mike.
Hi, Grace. I worked at a school with 600 kids in it. 99% of them were free or reduced lunch, which means they were economically disadvantaged. And I did a survey of the parents to see how many of them had internet. The rate of internet access among the parents was twice it was among the teachers.
So are you trying to say that Joe Biden was wrong?
I would never say that on public airwaves.
Yeah, no.
I'd have the FBI at my door in minutes.
Yeah. You'd have a SWAT team. You'd be like Roger Stone opening the door in your underwear. CNN will be outside. We just happen to be here, Mike. We just happen to be walking in your cul-de-sac.
Mike gets swatted twice like Marjorie Taylor Greene did tonight.
I don't blame you. You don't want to go against the regime. But, you know, your point is very valid. And I think that what it really, when Joe Biden says things like that, when any Democrat says things like that, it should be a wake-up call. to voters that this is what he thinks of you. This is the expectation he has for his base.
Yes.
He doesn't think they know how to use the internet.
There is a part of Joe Biden that believes Hispanics and black people can't use the internet. There is a part of him that believes that.
Yeah, but you know what the good thing is that he's got a wife by his side who can really educate him and fill him in on his ignorance and talk to him about how all of these different groups are unique, you know, and you can't just say, oh, you know, some minorities can't use the internet. That's painting with a broad brush. They're as unique as a breakfast taco. And you have to remember that, Joe. And your wife should be reminding you of that.
En español, por favor.
Okay. Okay. Just try to keep that in mind. 844-500-4242. When we come back, what do I want to do next? The world is my oyster. I think I want to talk a little bit about Chuck Todd in the news. Is Chuck Todd? Here's my tease. Ready? It's going to be like a newscaster tease. Is Chuck Todd the next Brian Stelter? We'll have the story for you coming up next after the break.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curly. This is the Grace Curley Show.
You know, all this time we've been so focused on the shakeups at CNN because of the new boss, Chris Licht. And meanwhile, I've been totally overlooking what's happening on other networks. And so imagine my surprise when today I read in the New York Post that Chuck Todd faces boot as Meet the Press host over low ratings.
Go there.
Weird phrasing. Chuck Todd faces boot as Meet the Press host over low ratings. Longtime NBC personality Chuck Todd is on the chopping block, allegedly, at the network as top brass pursue a shakeup at his poorly rated Sunday show. Now, an ex-CNN staffer who recently took over as the new executive producer at Meet the Press, David Gelles, is considering whether to retain Todd as his first order of business. Todd could be forced out despite recently signing a 2-year contract extension at NBC. Now, I love when a source talks to the media about the person they work with, and this was an unnamed Meet the Press source. This is what they told the Daily Beast. At what point does anyone have the balls to say maybe the problem is the face of it? Ouch. And rumor is that if he were to get the boot, that they're grooming Kristen Welker to be his replacement. And Welker is slated to expand her hosting duties ahead of the 2022 midterm elections. I guess he had like a online show called Meet the Press Daily. It used to be on MSNBC. And then they moved it to just solely online, which is never a good sign. If you go from being on cable and then they say, we're going to make it a web show, the writing's on the wall. Well, we'll keep you posted on the Chuck Todd of it all. I don't think he's going away. But who knows? I said the same thing about Brian Stelter, and I was wrong there.
That's the truth.
My little heart can't take no more. Andy, no, coming up next. Don't go anywhere.